Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Dorim Daf Chav Ches. We're learning today Lili Nishmas Jill Cider. All the Neshamas we learned for Shadon Aliyah from our learning. So yesterday we had done the Mishnah that began on Chav Zayin Omud Beis. Let's hold Chazad that real quickly, just to get ourselves into the mood for the Shia today. So the Mishnah begins three lines from the bottom, Chav Zayin Omud Beis. Nodrin, a person is allowed to make a neder, L'Horogin, L'Horomin, L'Mosin, for these types of people that are threatening this person, either murderers, outright murderers, harogin, or the harmim are like armed robbers that are just going to beat you up and hurt you, but not necessarily kill you. L'mosin, we'll learn about that more today inside the Gemara. I'm just going to chazer the Mishnah real quickly. And mosin are people that are inappropriately collecting taxes from you. So all of these people are going to damage you or hurt you or kill you, and therefore you have the right to go make a neder to say, for example, that the item that they're trying to steal from you, she truma, to say, no, this is truma. And somewhat paradoxically, these people won't take it if it's truma, even though they're willing to murder you or beat you up, etc., steal from you, but they won't take it from you if it's truma, because they won't eat truma, and therefore they'll leave it alone. So therefore, you can say, shehi truma, afal pi she'eino truma. Even though it's not really truma, you can make a neder to say that. Tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what that neder is. Now, you can also say, shehein shobeis hamelech, afal pi she'eino shobeis hamelech. You make a neder that it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the king. Oh, they're not going to steal from the king because they're going to be in trouble then. So therefore, you're allowed to make such a false neder. It doesn't need hataras nedarim because nobody had the intention of making this neder to be a real neder. Mishnah continues and tells us the machlokus being beshami v'shel. And the Gemara will explain exactly what this machlokus really fully is. So the Mishnah starts and tells us, beshami omrim bakol nodrin. Beshami says that you are allowed to make any type of neder in turn to chav ches omer aleph chutz, with the exception, however, mi b'shvua. You can't make a shvua to protect yourself from these harogim, haromim, and moksin. But you can make a neder, but not a shua. Beisol disagrees. Beisol omrim af b'shua. You can even make a shua. Then we have further, Beishama yomrim lo yiftach lo b'neder. Beisol omrim af yiftach lo. Beishama says, you can't volunteer to make the neder. If he tells you, make a neder, you're telling me that this is truma, and that's why I shouldn't take it. We'll make a neder on it, so then Beishama says, you'll have to do this. But you can't volunteer to make the neder. Beisol disagrees. Says, yes, you can even volunteer to make the neder. Again, in the Gemara, we'll have different ways of understanding this. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara. Furthermore, Beishama yomim b'meshu madiro, you're only allowed to make the neder for what he asks you to. Beisol says you can even add on stuff. Beisol omrim ap mashenu madiro, even that which he didn't ask you about, you can go and volunteer. What does that mean exactly? What's this machlokes mean, Beishama Beisol? The Mishnah says, Kesa, what are we talking about? So, for example, Amali, if there's a murderer, Hurrigan, or the Haramin, or the Mosin, go and tell you over here, say that this, you're telling me that this is truma, so if this isn't truma, then konam ishti nenesli, then say, if this isn't truma, I want you to say that your wife is also to you via neder. So a person is allowed to go and say in this situation, yes, my wife should be also me with a neder if this isn't truma. V'omar, and he says, however, konam ishti ubonai nenili. He adds on, he volunteers, and he says, not only my wife, but even my children should be also to me if this isn't truma, let's say. So the Shama Yomim in that situation, Ishtabuteras Ubanavasurit. The Shama says, yeah, what he asked you to, you are allowed to say, and it falls off, it's not a real neder. But he didn't ask to say about your bottom, so you volunteered that to like really show that you mean it. So unfortunately, those children will be also, then no, you have to do a Taurus the Dharma on that. But still disagrees. But still, Omim, no, even in that situation, Elam Elam Mutar, both your wife and your children will be brought to you, this would fall under this category of Nedarim that don't need Hatara. Morris starts off and explains, Varmer Shmuel, Dino de Melchusadina, wait a second. How could this Mishnah tell us that we don't have to pay the taxes? After all, Shmuel has said that you must follow Dino de Melchusadina. If the government makes fair dinim that apply to everybody that aren't only against the Jewish people, but they make a rule that applies to everybody. And in the Likutei Rashi, brings down from the Gemara elsewhere, from the Rashbam, that kol ovdei kochovim, meaning the governments, the secular governments, the governments of the goyim. So all the masim, kol masim, varnunios, umenhagos, shomishpate melochim, shiragilim, lahanim, b'malchutzim, any laws that they make of any nature, taxes or others that they make in their kingdoms, you have to follow as long as they're fair for everybody. Dinahu shekol b'nei hamalchus mekablim aleim meritzonam chuki hamelech umishpatav. Everybody's living in their country. This is what some of the other Mepharshim explained. You're living in their country. They have the right to kick you out, theoretically. So everybody has to follow the rules. And as long as those rules are fair and across the board, they're not anti-Semitic rules. They are fair across the board rules. So then you have to follow them. And therefore, the Hilchkoch din gomer hu, that you have to go pay taxes. The ain lemachzik b'mamon chaveiro al picho kamelech hanog beir mishum gezel. And this isn't considered gezel if the government makes fair taxes and makes fair rules, and you have to pay them. So Shmuel had said that we have to follow dina de machusa. You have to go and follow it. Dina de machusa dina, one of the most famous halachic statements. And therefore, how can we say in our Mishnah that you can lie to the tax collector? So we'll give several tirutz. The first one is Amr b'chadina, Amr b'kahan, Amr Shmuel. Chadina said the name of Kano, who said the name of Shmuel, who was the author of this statement of Dina Bachusa Dina. He said it all depends if it's a fair tax or not. B'moches she'ein lo kitzva. If you're dealing over here with a tax collector that is inappropriately taking taxes, what does that mean? So if you look in the Rosh, in Dibur HaMaskel, Moches she'ein lo kitzva, and he says, "V'hai lav dinahu." This isn't dina de machusa dina. This isn't the fair din. What does he do? The dafka b'dover shehu shavah l'kol b'nei hamedina. Only something that is done fairly for all people in the Medina is it is din of yesh lo rishus lakona lasos. Then they have the right to go collect taxes. However, the Rosh continues and he says, "Avo lo b'dover," but they don't have the right to go and collect. If it's she'eno shoveh, for example, l'mayit l'zeh, l'rabas l'zeh, they go and collect an inappropriate amount. For their friends, they go say, listen, you only have to pay a quarter of the tax, or you don't have to pay tax at all. And to the enemies, or to the Jewish people, they say, no, you have to pay twice as much, three times as much. So that's what's called an inappropriate tax. It's a tax that doesn't have a limit. It doesn't have a set amount. And therefore, that you wouldn't have the din of dina machusa dina, and the person would be allowed to say when they try to collect these grains from you, you could say that they're truma. When they try to collect some property from you, you could say, no, this doesn't belong to me, this belongs to the king. You want to start up with the king, that's your right, but I wouldn't do that if I were you. So therefore, they have the right to make an edder, because when the moches says, listen, swear to me, you make an edder, so then they have the right to make this nedder, and it doesn't require a taras nedar. Alternatively, the Rosh says, Inami, another way that we could call this a moches she'en lo kitzva, kivan she'en lo kitzva, marbe likach yosem imasha melech chofetz. So the king said, you take $1 million from this region. And he goes, takes $5 million from this region. That's an inappropriate tax. And in that situation, hukach kulo gezel. This is called thievery that the tax collector is doing, not normal, allowable IRS tax collection. And therefore, in this situation, you would be allowed to go and make an edder that doesn't require hatara because you're doing this to protect yourself from a ganav. Okay, that's teretz number one, b'moches she'en lo kitzva. Teretz number two, today Rav Yanai Omar, we're dealing over here, b'moches ha'omed me'elo. The guy gets up on his own, as the Rosh says, below das ha'melech. The guy says, pay taxes to me. Now, he has no authority to do so, so he's an inappropriate tax collector. He's no different than a guy trying to strong-arm you to give him money. He's no different than anybody that's trying to steal money from you, and therefore you'll have to go make an edder in this situation without having to do ataras nedar. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shehem Shabbes HaMelech, V'yafalpi She'enu Shabbes HaMelech. So here we quote the part of the Mishnah that says it belongs to the king. The Ran and others have the gears over here that this should actually also say Shehem Shal Truma, and it's not Truma, because that's actually the first thing that's discussed in the Mishnah. So they actually go back and bring that in, and they actually change the gears around the Gemara. Instead of it's talking about Emenu Shabbes HaMelech, they say it was Eno Truma. Either way, it's the same thing. Both of them are the same idea. So the Gemara asks, how did he actually make this neder that doesn't require a taras nedar? Hechi nodar. When the Hargin or the Harman or the Mohsin come and try to take stuff from you that they don't have a right to do, so what exactly was the neder that you did? So Omer Rav Amram, Omer Rav, Rav Amram said Omer Rav, but Omer, what did the person say? Ye asru peru so'olam alai im einon shobeis hamelach. He says, these grains should be also to me if this doesn't belong to the melech, or these grains should be also to me if they're not truma. So that is the neder that the person made, Rav Amram Amarav said. Gemara says, I don't think so. The Gemara doesn't like that. Gemara says, Kivan the Amar Yasru. Once he says, these should be Asur, so that's it. Itzaru ale kol peri alma. So then all the peris of the world, that's what he said. Yesru peris ha'olam alai. So that is going to be something that would take effect. So that would actually be a neder that you have to go and nullify. And how can you say that on Mishnah that it doesn't require a taras nedar? He said, all of them should be also to me. Boom, that's it. They're all also to you, even though it's under an onus situation. Someone says, no, be omer hayom. The guy actually said, hayom. So he said, the parents of the world should be also to me today. That's why it doesn't require any taras nedar. That's ridiculous. Either omer hayom, if the person said hayom, then that's not going to prevent these harogin, harmin, or mochsin from taking it from him. Lo mekabel minei moches. They're not going to accept that as being a valid type of a teretz. they're going to say, big deal. You're not telling us anything that really proves your point. You're saying, oh, it's also to me, all the parents of the world are also to me today. So you won't have fruits today, but you'll have them tomorrow. And you're tricking us. So they're not going to believe him. So how does that answer the question? Gemara explains, no. This is what he says. The person didn't say that all the parents of the world are also to me forever. He said, all the parents of the world are also to me. Stam, without saying forever. And the Ran explains that normally that would mean that the person normally says, and you can see this in the Ran, Dibur Masel Hechi Nodar, and he says, four lines into this Ran, Kolomar, Idi Omar Yosru Peros Olam Alai Li Olam, if he were to have said the word, all the fruits of the world are awesome to me forever, so Ein Dvarim Shavalei Mevatlin, Vashoji Befir, then what he has in his heart can't be Mevatl, what he actually said. So if he had said, Yosru Peros Olam Alai Li Olam, Imenu Shobei Samela, so then he would require a Torah Sadar. And this would be true, even if it was an onus. However, the Ran explains that the Gemara is telling us here that he just said, Peros Olam Yosu Alai, without saying the word Liolam, and Yosu Peros Olam Alai, Unihi, this Stoma Liolam, under normal circumstances when there's no onus, that would imply forever, because he didn't qualify it, so the Stam understanding is forever. Mashma, Hanimili, Hecho, Deleka, Onsa. That's true when there is no onus. Mishum detzvei mashma, it makes more sense to say that it means liolam mi mehayom. And the normal circumstance, the person says, yes, peros olam alai. So the stam understanding is forever, as opposed to just today. That's when there's no onus. Aval hecha de'ika onsa, but when he's under duress, like the hargi and the harmin, or the mosim situation, hach onsa mefarish leila dibure, that explains his intent. The hayom kamar, that he really meant hayom, since he didn't say specifically otherwise. And as the Rush more concisely tells us over here, in the Ramas of Omer Belibo, says, Dvorim Shebleid, Hamochichin Habyan Dvorim. Here, the circumstances show that what he was thinking in his heart is really what's going on. And therefore, in this situation, he doesn't require Hataras Dvorim, and the Horgin, the Horman, and the Mosin think this guy is really meaning it because he's they're assuming he means Liolam, even though he didn't state so, because that's the Stam, but in an onus situation, it doesn't mean that, and when he thinks in his heart, Hayom, so then those Dvarim Shebelev do, in fact, take effect, under even though in the normal circumstances, Dvarim Shebelev ain't on Dvarim. And this is true, the Gemara says, V'afal Gav, this Svira Lon Dvarim Shebelev ain't on Dvarim. That's only true when there's no onsin. Legabe onsin shiny. Here we say that those Dvarim Shebelev, it's mochich, and it's clear that that's what he meant, because why would he ask all the parents of the world to lie upon himself if he wasn't trying to get around these Hargin, Harmin, and Mosin? Okay. Gemara continues and says, now we quote the Mishnah, and actually you see it's a very long quote. From the two dots on to the next two dots, it's like 5-6 lines, and we quote it. So the Hagos Sinim says that it really should just be over here, V'chule, and not the entire quote, but we'll read it anyway just to remind us. So we learned in the Mishnah, Beishami Omrim Bakol Nodrin. Beishami said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to go make a neder with any type of neder, but you can't make it with a shrua. And Beishami Omrim Bimashu Madiro, you're only allowed to go make the neder in what they told you to make the neder on. You can't go and add on things to it. Beisol disagrees. Beisol Omrim Ach Bishenu Madiro. Even if they didn't ask you to do it, you're allowed to go and volunteer to do it, or add on things that they didn't ask you to do. Ketzad, Amalo Konim Ishti Nenesli. For example, if they say you should make an edit that your wife should be asked to you, if this isn't true, if this doesn't belong to the king, so, and he says, Amalo Konim Ishti Ubanai Nenesli, and the guy volunteers, in addition to his wife, he says, also my children, so there we have the machot, Bishami Omim Ishto Muteras Ubanav Asurim, Ubeisol Omim Eilu Eilu Mutarim. Bishami says, only what they ask you to do, that neder falls off, but they ask you only about your wife, and you waited on the children, so the children will yasa to you, and would have to have ataras the darim. And the Hill says, no, both of them in this situation are mutar. Okay, that's the re-quoting of the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to give us a machlokis over here. Amr of Huna, Tana, we learn in the following Braisa, Beishamai Omrim, Lo Yiftach Lo Bishvua. The Braisa says that Beishamai is saying over here, you're not allowed to go and volunteer with a Shvua, but the implication is that with a neder, you can go and volunteer. So this brisa, however, therefore, seems to contradict our Mishnah, as we'll say in a second. You can go and make a shvua that is a false shvua, even though shvuas are more strict, as we pointed out many times, lo yinakeh, as it says in the Aseret Dibros. So by shvua, it's more strict, but Beis Shammai says you can't open with a shvua, but you can open with a neder. Beis Hillel says you can even open up with a shvua and volunteer that. So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai, b'shvua hu d'lo yiftach lo. That with a shvua you can't go and open up implication being, but we learned otherwise in our Mishnah. So we seem to have a stira, first stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Braisa seems to imply via implication. It doesn't say beferish, but by implication, the Braisa seems to say that Beis Shammai's opinion is you can't open up with a shua. Implication being you could open up with a nether. And our Mishnah says, Beferish, Beis Shammai says you can't open up with a nether. That's stira number one between the Braisa that we just quoted and our Mishnah. Stira number two, Vaso, a second stira, Miftachu delo yiftachlo b'shua. It says you can't open up with a shvua. Implication again being that if they ask you to do a shvua, ha meidar nodar b'shua. Now it uses the lashon meidar nodar, but it means a shvua over here, as the Mefarish clearly says, v'idolo came belosh and shvua. You make a nether, but it's you talking about the losh and the shvua. You're making a shvua over here. If they force you to or ask you to, so then you're allowed to. But again, that's not what the Mishnah said. But now we learned in our Mishnah, Shami Omrim, Bakol Nodrim Chutz Mi B'Shua, that even if they want you to, you can't make a shvua. So we have two steers between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Again, the first one is the implication, both of them only by implications, not beferish. The first one is the implication is that Beis Shammai says you just can't be poseach with a shvua, but by implication, you could be poseach with a neder, and the Mishnah said otherwise. And the second one is, the Braisa says that you can't be poseach with a shvua, but the implication is that if they ask you to make the shvua, then you'd be allowed to. But the Mishnah said beferish you can't. So we have two steers between the Braisa and the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says there's no steer. Two answers why there's no steer. Answer number one, Tano Masnisin, our Mishnah is trying to teach us over here, the neder, our Mishnah specifically talks about neder, lo diacha kochon de Beis Shammai, to show us the koch of Beis Shammai, that even a neder you can't be poseach with, according to Beis Shammai. But that doesn't mean in the Braisa that it says that by implication a neder is allowed to be opened with. No. It's just trying to show us the strength of Beis Shammai in our Mishnah that even a neder you're not allowed to open with. But that doesn't mean that the Braisa says an implication that a neder you're allowed to open with. No. There it wants to show us the strength of Beis Hillel. And Tana Braisa, Bishua, why didn't they say Shua if the din is the same by a neder? It wanted to show us the strength of Beis Hillel that even a Shua you're allowed to open with. But you can't learn out any implications over here. Each one, the Braisa versus the Mishnah, are just accenting on the strength of the Shita of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel respectively. But there's no implications over here to say otherwise. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Ashi Omar Hachitani. This is the way you have to understand it. Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Sheilo B'Shvua. Beis Hillel Omrim Yei Sheilo B'Shvua. The statement in the Braisa that Lo Yivtach Lo B'Shvua has nothing to do with our machlokis over here in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's a totally separate machlokis. They're talking about Hatorah, a Pesach. And Beis Shammai says, Pesach doesn't work by Yeshua. And Beis Hillel says, Pesach does work by Yeshua. But it has nothing to do with our din over here of the Hargin, Harmin, and the Mosin. That has to do with, can you use a Pesach to do Hataras Nedarim on a Shvua, or not? So Beis Shammai says no, Beis Hillel says yes. And therefore has nothing to do with our Mishnah. There's no stira between the Braisa and our Mishnah. Next Mishnah. If a person says, Harei Nitiosa Elu Karbon, in any Enon Niktsosos, person says, these young trees that I have over here, these saplings, should have the status of being a korban. The Mefarish understands it's klomer shu hektish. They should actually belong to hektish. Others, however, such as the Rosh, the Ramaso ha'elu korban, says pirush limacher, that these should be sold ulahavi bidimehem korban, and the money should be consecrated to bring korbanos with it. V'lo amar she'osrot nolof korban. He's not saying over here that this should be like a korban to me, these saplings should be like a korban to me, because he didn't say the word olai. Given the lo amar, the word olai, he just said harei nitilu so'elu korban, which means kedushas domin. Okay. If the person says this, or he says talis zu korban, this talis should be like a korban. Again, same machlokas between the Mefarish and the Rosh and others. I just gave you the Mefarish as an example. The Ran seems to say the same thing. He gives both like the Rosh and like the Mefarish. Tosa seems to say like the Rosh. In any event, the similar idea, if he says that this talis should be also to be in some sort of a way, it should be like a korban, or the value of it should be kedushas domim. So then, in Einon Nisrafis, if it doesn't get burned, so then in both of these situations, it becomes holy, and Yesh Lahen Pidyon, you're allowed to go and redeem it. Now, why does the Gemara use it, Lashon of Yesh Lahen Pidyon, instead of saying that it's Kaddish, the Gemara will tell us. Okay, Mishnah continues, says, Harinitius Elu Karban Achi Kotsu. If he says they should become holy in whatever the way, like the Mefarish or the Rush, they should become holy until they're chopped off, until they're cut down. So then, or he says, Tal is their korban. Achati sorry, if it should be a korban, should have the status of Kedushas Damim until it gets burned. So then in this situation, and we turn to Chavches Amud Beis, Ein Lahem pigeon. They're not holy and they don't have a pigeon. They don't need a pigeon. As the Mefarish says over here, La'olam kozman shalom niktzasu ve'en yotzin l'chulin. They're only holy until they're cut down. But once they're cut down, they no longer have this status of being like a korban in whatever way you understand, like the Mefarish or the Rush. But the Gemara will have a discussion as to what does that mean. Does it go off on its own or does it have to be redeemed? So the simple understanding over here is ein lahem pigeon. They don't require a pigeon. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, V'lisnei kedoshos. Why did you say yeshlam pigeon, ein lahem pigeon? You should have just said they're kedoshos, the ein kedoshos, or that they're not kedoshos. Now, this second statement of ein kedoshos, not everybody's gores, and many are just gores over here, the word V'lisnei kedoshos. Fine. So why don't we use that terminology of kedoshos, or not kedoshos, rather than saying yeshlam pigeon, ein lahem pigeon? So Gemara says, no. I did the bole misna sefer ein lahem pigeon, since the sefer specifically wants to tell us a din of pigeon, which we'll explain momentarily in the Gemara. So therefore, for parallelism, the Reisha used the same lashon. Tana nami Reisha yesh lahem pigeon, even though it meant really that they're kadosh. Fine. Now, hechi nada that the Gemara says, if a person said that these netios should be kikarbon im einon niktzatzos, if they don't get cut down, chopped down. So then the Mishnah said, if they don't get chopped down, if they don't get burned, so then they are becoming kadosh. So the Gemara asks, Hechinoda, what exactly was the neder that he made? After all, the implication is that if they do get cut down, then it's not a neder. So if the clothing gets burned, it's not kadosh. So what's the Mishnah telling us over here? Now let's go back to the Ran that's found on Chol Cheson Aleph, the Ramascho, Harei HaNitiyos Elu Kekorben Emeinu Nitzasos. And the Ran says, the circumstances are as follows. Raw ruach sa'ara min hashevis. He sees a stormy wind blowing, right? He sees a hurricane coming. And there's a concern that all the trees will be uprooted from the ground. They'll all be knocked down from this hurricane. Likewise, he sees there's a fire in Nebuch that's running through the neighborhood. And he's concerned that his talis is hanging out there on the clothesline. Talis means a garment, lavdavka, a talis, like we say, a talis gadol. And he sees that there's a chance that his garment will be destroyed. And therefore he says, Eluyu carbon, all of these should be holy, and Einiktsasos, if they don't get chopped down, or the talis to your carbon, if it doesn't get burnt up. And under these circumstances, the have a kimo nidre shigagos. These are nidarim that are bishogeg. The adaita dohachi akdishino. He only was makdish these trees or this garment because he thought they would be destroyed. Shayosavar, she actually also needs solen. He didn't think they would be able to be served, saved. So therefore, he gave them to Akosh Baruch Hu. The little gomer believable like this, but he didn't really mean it. He didn't have that intention. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, no, even though that wasn't your intention, this isn't Nidri Shikagos. Kamash Vulon, Didvarim Shibalev, Kihani, the Lo Murche, it's not clear over here that that's what you intended. Lo Habim Dvarim, therefore they're not Dvarim. So now the Gemara asks, what exactly did he say, Hechi Nodar, that this scenario should take effect? So Amemar tells us, Amar Amemar, he said, Va'omer, im einon niktzatzos hayom, if these trees don't get chopped down today, in other words, if the storm doesn't come and take them today and knock them down, so then they should be holy. V'avar hayom, v'lo niktzatzu, and the day passed, and they weren't chopped down. Ah, so therefore the nether comes true, and as the Rush said, that we don't in this situation say it's muchacha, and therefore he has to go and either redeem them if he wishes to, or they are holy. Gemara says, Im kein, loma li lemeimar pshita, says, so then, wait a second, what's the chiddush over here? We always know the din is dvarim shebalev ein dvarim, so what's the chiddush over here, the way a meimar is learning? Gemara says, no, there's a big chiddush over here. Lo tzricha, the chiddush is, kegon d'ika zika nefisha. There's a hurricane over here, and there's an extreme high likelihood. It's shriach. It looks like they're going to get chopped down. So therefore, people might have thought in this situation that, in fact, his neder is a nidre shigagos type of a neder. So kamash will learn that it's not. And I'll show you that this is right, because voktani lo gabi talis, it tells us the same thing by a talis. Now, the talis l'sreifa kaima, does a talis normally have a concern that it's going to get burnt down? So what says, here we're talking about in Kigon, the Ika, the Leika. They're talking about there's a fire rushing through Nebuch the town. And therefore, by the talis, it's clear that we're dealing with, there's a strong chance that this talis will get burned up, and nevertheless, if he makes a neder, the neder takes effect. So hochanami, so to over here, deika zika nefisha. They're talking here about there's a hurricane type of a wind over here, and therefore, even in this situation where there's a likelihood that the talis will be burned up by the fire, because there's a fire there, and there's a likelihood that the trees will be all uprooted, because there's a hurricane, and then if they're not, you might have thought that this is the Hidrash Gagos, Kamash Walon, no, the neder takes effect. And the Gemara says further and explains it. So kadaitof the masik adaiti de lo mis natslon umishum hochi konodar kamash walon. As I just said, you might have thought because it's something that maybe you would say here, Tvarim Shabulev, or Dvarim, because it's Nidresh Gago. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, as the Maimur explains, is that that's not the case. Let me quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hare Nitios Elu Karbon. If the person said that these Nitios should be a Karbon, until they're cut down, so then in that situation, ain lahem pidyon. Now, what does that mean? Ula olam. The Gemara says, really, la olam. Right now, the Gemara is understanding our Mishnah as saying that they can never be redeemed. That they have kedusha, and even achi iktsatsu, you still don't have the ability to go do a pidyon in this situation. So the Gemara says, I'm a barpada. Barpada tells us no. We're dealing over here with pidyon. If the person did redeem them, since it hasn't yet been cut down, he says they're kadosh, so then even though he redeemed them, the kedusha automatically reinserts itself. And when he's padon the second time, they again become kadosh. Until this would keep on happening if he redeemed them. That's why it says elam pijo. There is no way to be pulled to them until achi iktsatsu. Once you cut them down, so then niktsatsu, so then, the Kedusha can't just go off, as we say, b'chdi, by itself. So Barpada tells us, so then, once it's yiksasu, if you are poda it, now, dayo. The Kedusha is gone, you've been poda it, and we don't have a problem. But you have to go, and the Kedusha reinserts itself until achi yiksasu, no matter how many times you redeem it. And even once you cut it down, you have to go and redeem it, because as we'll see in the Gemara in a second, the Kedusha can't go off what we call Bechdi by itself. It has to be redeemed. That's the opinion of Barpada. Ula disagrees. But Ula Amar, no. I agree with you the first part. Pidon Choses Kochos. Pidon Choses Kochos. That I agree with you. However, once it is cut down, Kivan Shenik Tzitzo, once it's cut down, Shuv Ein Podon. Then there is no requirement to be podon because you only said that the Kedusha is there until it's cut down. Once it's cut down, so then the Kedusha no longer is there. It's Paka bichdi, it goes off on its own. Now we turn to Chavtes of an Aleph. Amalei Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna es ula kedusha behen. Leichon holcha, how can you say the kedusha goes off bichdi? How can you say it just goes off? How did that happen? Kedusha just can't go off. I'll show you that that's not true. Uma ilu amamisha, if a man were to tell a woman, hariak mekudeshesli, hayom, only for today, at ishti, ulamachar yat ishti, but tomorrow you're not my wife. You're only mekudeshes for one day. Does anybody say, yeah, the woman's only Mekudeshes one day, and tomorrow she walks off scot-free? No, of course she would need a get. So the Kedusha can't just go off. The woman can't just go out from being a married woman. So to over here, the Kedusha that was on these saplings can't just go off because they're cut down. So that's whatever Rav Hamnuna asks Ula. Normally Rava says, what are you talking about? Me komadam is Kedushas domim l'kedushas aguf. The woman is Kedushas aguf. She is married. However, the saplings, as we understood, like the Rosh and by Tosos, and by one of Pshatim in the Ran, not like the Mefarish, so mi komedam is kedushas domim. These saplings have kedushas domim. How can you compare that to kedushas agop? By kedushas domim, poko bichti. Yeah, kedushas domim does just go off scot-free without any action to it. Ah, kedushas agof, like the woman being married, lo poko b'di. That doesn't go off by itself. You have to have a get, so to say, to remove the kedusha for being married, a married woman. And so too, if it was something that was kadosh in kedushas agof, that can't just go off by itself. But this is kedushas domim, and it can go off by itself. And therefore, Rava answers for Ula to Rav Hamnuna that Ula is correct. Abaya disagrees with Rava. Amalei Abaya tells him, Kedushas Aguf, lo poko bichdi. Are you really saying that Kedushas Aguf can't ever go off by itself, and that's your distinction? I'll show you that that's not true. But Tanya, learn the following brisa. If a person says, this is the first part of the brisa, we'll have a second part of the brisa, which will clarify this in a moment. So the first part of the brisa says, Shor ze ola, ko shloshim yom. Person says, this shor should be an ola for 30 days. Now that's Kedushas Aguf. He says, this shor should have the Kedusha being an ola. And as Tosus points out, Marlinbar, this has Kedusha of a high level of Kachim. This is Kachim that are Kachi Kadashim. It's not Kachi Kalim. It's the status of an Ola. Umarlinbar called Osu Shoshim Yom. And for these 30 days, it has the status of being an Ola. But then he says, Ula Achar Shloshim Yom, but after 30 days, it should go to a lower status of Shlomim. So, what's the din? So the Brisa says, Kol Shloshim Yom Ola. And Liachar Shloshim Yom Shlomim. Yeah, this works. Now, Amai, how does this work? If you, Ula, are correct, if you, Rav, are correct in defending Ula and saying that Kedusha is Damim Lo Paka Bichdi, so then how did the Kedusha of the Kachi Kadachim, Ola, suddenly leave and go to the lower Kedusha of Kachi Kalim, of Ishlamim? Amai, Kedusha is a Gof, Dinu, Upaka Bichdi, according to you, this Brisa clearly says that it becomes Ishlamim. So how did that happen? So this Brisa, Abai says, is a Kasha on you, Rav, a Kasha on you, Ula. How do you understand this, Brisa? So Gemara says, no. Rava and Ula would answer, Hachem Ayaskini, you know what they're talking about over here? The Amar Lidmei. He didn't say, this shor hare olai ola. He says, this shor should have be sold, and the proceeds of this shor should purchase an ola. Oh, that's Kedushas Damim. And Kedushas Damim is Pakabiti. So for the first 30 days, it should be purchasing an ola. And after that, purchase a shlomim. If I didn't purchase within the first 30 days an ola, so then I can use the money to go purchase a shlomim. Ah, that's how Rava and Ula would understand this Brisa. Mor says, wait a second, keep on reading the Brisa. Yachi Eim Sefer, go to the next part of the Brisa. What does the next part of the Brisa say? The Brisa has the opposite case. If the person first said that it should be a shlomim, Uli Akar Shloshim Yom Ola, Umeyach Shloshim, it should be a shlomim for the first 30 days, and after 30 days, it goes from a shlomim to an Ola. Now, in this situation, if you were to say, why do we have to have a second part of the Brisa? Because it's talking about teaching us that the first part of the Brisa, you went from Kedushas Aguf, Ola, to Kedushas Damim, Shlomim. And the second part of the Brisa, you're going from Kedushas Damim, Shlomim, and going to Kedushas Aguf, Ola. Oh, I understand why you need two parts of the Brisa. Yeah, I miss Mishlomim, Chodim, Kedushas Aguf, Chodim, Kedushas Damim. If you're telling me they have different Kedushas, and we turn to Chav Tes on the days, so then in this situation, Hainu, Dietzruch, Lei, Litana, Lemis, Deitayati. Oh, now I understand why the Tana gives us both examples of the first part of the Brisa. It's talking about Ola going to Shlomim, Kedushas Haguf going to Kedushas Damim, and the second part of the Brisa is teaching us the opposite, that you go from Kedushas Damim to Kedushas Haguf, and in both situations it works. Because the Sokadaitech, I mean, I might have said that it only works one way. And the Bach changes it around over here, but the Bach says that Sokadaitech, I mean, Kedushas Damim Pachu Bichdi, Kedushas Haguf Lo Pachu Bichdi, so Amatu Lahachi. So then it has to tell us Tana Tarti, that's what it has to tell us too. I might have thought it only works one way. Therefore, I might have thought it only works going from Kedushas Damim to Kedushas Haguf, so that could go off Bichdi. But going from Kedushas Haguf to Kedushas Damim, it wouldn't. So therefore, you need both. Oh, that works out great. If you give the teretz that it is talking about, you actually made it into an Ola, you actually made it into a Shlomim. Eliyamis, if you're saying like you wanted to give the teretz, Rava and Ula, if you were to say Eliyamis Idi Idi Kedushas Damim, they're both talking about Kedushas Damim, so then Lomelim is the tithe. Why would I have to have both of them? Hashto Yesh Lomar Mikdusha Chamur Likdusha Kalapaka. If it's going from the higher standard of Kedusha Ola going to Shlomim, it applies. So then Allah Chaskam Vakama Mikdusha Kala Likdusha Chamur Tzricha LeMeimar. Would you have to tell that to me when it goes from Shlomim to Ola? Of course that would apply. So therefore, you see clearly here that the right way to learn this is Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Damim, Ola Kedushas Haguf, and Shlomim Kedushas Damim, and yet we do say Pako Bichdi, and therefore Rava's understanding of Ula is incorrect, because Rava had said that the case of the woman who is married for one day, she can't just be not married the next day, she requires a get, so you require something, so this Brisa certainly slugs up the way Rava understood Ula. Now, the Mefarshim bring down, it may not necessarily slug up Ula. Ula doesn't have to say that the difference between the woman and the monetary case is that one is Kedushas Dom and one is Kedushas Aguf. In fact, Ula could hold, no, that's different. Marriage is something different. It has nothing to do with Kedushas Aguf. That has to do with something that once you're a Mekudesh, that's it. That's the end of the discussion. You're Mekudesh. It doesn't have the possibility of only being Mekudesh for one day. And therefore, Ula is not necessarily slugged up. And Ula is understanding that Kedusha Paka Bichdi, in our case, that when the trees, the saplings are niktsatsu, they do get cut off. So then, at that point in time, the kedusha can just go off bichti. So ula is not necessarily shlugged off. And now the Gemara continues, and it says, lema tehefti tiyufta de bar panda. In fact, this should be a argument against bar panda. Bar panda had said, the Omar, lo pak kedusha bichti, the kedusha can't come off on its own. This braisa clearly shows, the way we said we have to understand it, because it's talking about tarity, it's talking about ola going to shlomim, and shlomim going to ola, that certainly seems to suggest that kedusha is paka b'chdi. So now we go back to Barbada. Barbada said when the trees are cut down, you still must redeem them one more time. Why does he hold like that? Because he holds Omar, lo paka kedusha b'chdi. But the Brisa seems to suggest that it is paka b'chdi, so it's a kasha, a tiyufta on Barbada. So Gemara says no. Amalach Barbada, Barbada will tell you as follows. This is what you have to understand the Brisa. Hochi komar. The Brisa should not be understood as being two parallel parts, but in fact, it's two separate dinim. And therefore, the answer that we gave a moment ago, that the reason why it says tarti is to teach us the din of kedushas damim paka bichdi and kedushas aguf paka bichdi, is incorrect. And incidentally, this could also answer up Rava as well, some of the Mefarshim suggest. But in any event, Bar Pada's answer is that the two parts of the brayis are separate. The first one teaches us that it's kedushas damim. The Ola was Kedushas Damim, and therefore that's why it's Paka Bechti, but Kedushas Aguf would not be Paka Bechti. Then what do you have the second part? He says the second part's totally different. He says, Hochi Kamar, in Lo Amar Me Achshav Shlomim, the only reason why the second part says that the Kedusha falls off is because he did not say it first should be a Shlomim, and then it should be an Ola. What he's really saying is, only Li'achash Shloshim Yom, Ola Hevi. He was just saying that it should be an Ola after 30 days. Just like me did the Havi Omelish, if a man tells a woman that you will be miskadeshes to me in 30 days, his kachi li le'acha shoshim, he gives her the money right now, and he says it should take effect 30 days from now, so the mikudeshes. 30 days from now, she is mikudeshes. Even though, v'afapi, she nis'aklu amos, even though the money is gone, the money has been eaten up, literally, digested. Nis'aklu zanayim means it's been digested, it means it was used up. So even though the money is not around, the fact that she accepted that money, al menas kedushin, to take effect day 30. So even though the money's not around, the kedusha take effect. So what Rapapa is saying, according to Bar Pada, the second part of that brisa is teaching us that if the person says this animal should be an ola, kedushas haguf, after 30 days, it's chal after 30 days. The only reason why it wouldn't be chal is because he said it's first the shlomim. So this has nothing to do with the first part of the brisa, and therefore there's no steer over here that you have to say tarti, that you need both of them to teach us kedushas aguf as well as kedushas domim. So therefore, Rapapa, explaining for Bar Pada, says that the brisa isn't the raya that lo paka kedusha bichdi. In fact, lo paka kedusha bichdi, in fact, it is lo paka kedusha bichdi, and Bar Pada is fine. Now, the Gemara questions this, and says, pshita, what's the chiddush over here? We know that this is true by a woman, that if she's married with the understanding that the kedushin will take effect only after 30 days. So if it's the case by a woman who's mikudesha, so it's pashut, pshita, then it should also be the case over here by being mikadesh the animal after 30 days. Why would we think that there's a difference between a woman and the animal? So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha, we need it because the hadarbe, in fact, if the chiddush over here, the brisa is that what happens if the woman were to retract? In other words, before day 30, she says, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want the kedushin to take effect. So it doesn't take effect on day 30 because she retracted. And likewise, the chiddush of the brisa is that if it wasn't for the fact that he said it's a shlomin right now, then you could also retract before day 30 and the animal would not become an ola. So that's the chiddush of the brisa. That's what it's really teaching us. Mora says, okay, that works out great. Hanich l'man d'yomar, eino chazeres. That works out great if you hold like that. In other words, if you say that there's a difference between the case of the woman and there's a difference between the case of the man being makdish the animal. If you say, according to l'man d'yomar, eino chazeres, that a woman cannot retract. Once she accepts the marriage, it's going to be chal in 30 days, even if the item is eaten up, even if the item is gone, the kedushin money is gone. So according to that opinion, so by the woman, she cannot retract, but in the case of the animal, you have the right to retract. Oh, so there's a chiddush over here in the brisa. Elo, l'man d'yomar chazeres. According to l'man d'yomar, it says that the woman can retract if she wishes to. On day 29, she can say, listen, I'm sorry, I changed my mind. Even if the money's gone, she's allowed to say the kedushin shouldn't go into effect. If you hold like that opinion, l'man d'yomar chazeres, so then the same din should apply over here with the animal. Why should, again, we think that there should be any difference between the woman retracting before day 30 and the man retracting
his kiddushin of the animal before day 30. There should be no difference. And then we go back to our original question, what's the chiddush of the braisa?
So the Gemara answers, no. Even according to the Man D'Omer, it says, by a marriage, you can be choseres. I feel the Man D'Omer, hasam choseres, a woman can retract before the 30 days are up. She can say, sorry, I don't want to go through with this marriage. That's by a marriage. Hacha, however, here, when you makdish something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hacha shiny, here you can't retract. Why? The amiroso legavoa kimisiroso lehejod. In regards to Shamayim, and how exactly this works, the Mefarshim go through details as to how exactly this works, but we'll just say it simply, that when you're giving something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no ability to retract. It's kimisiroso lehejod. It's like having already given it over to the hejod. It's that you cannot retract it because it's, so to say, in Shemayim's possession already. And even though it's before day 30 and it's only chal on day 30, it's not the same. When you're dealing with Shemayim, it's already chal from day 1. You're right, it won't actually get the Kedusha until day 30, but it's already chal from day 1. And therefore, even according to Man D'Omer, it says Choseres, in this situation, it's not going to be able to be Choseres, and that's the Chiddush of the Braisa, that if it didn't say it's a Shlomim first, then, in fact, the Kedusha, that it goes to an Ola, would in fact take effect, even if he was Choseres, and even according to Man D'Omer, by a woman, she could be Choseres, when you get Mesira le-Gavoa, when you're being Makti something, you cannot be Choseres, even though the 30 days aren't up. And that's the Chiddush of the Braisa. That's how Bar Pada would learn this. Possibly that's how Rava would learn the Braisa as well. So it wasn't even a kasha on Rava's understanding of Ula. And that concludes, to a certain extent, this sugya right now, although it will be discussed a little bit more tomorrow. Now, if you noticed, and hopefully you all noticed, we did two dafim today. We did Chav Ches and Chav Tes. It's all one sugya, and I find sometimes when we break it apart into two sugyas and people learn it in 2 days, and it was relatively short, so I thought, let's try to do this all at once, and you get a bonus. A person can pick one day to take a little vacation, and maybe just chazer that day and not learn a new blot, but shouldn't not learn, but you should just chazer one day and you'll take an extra day to not learn a new daf. So with this, we conclude today's share and hope everybody has a wonderful Shabbos.